We are going to have our Bible reading today. You're going to need to turn in your Bible to Mark 15. We are going to read Mark's account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus that first Good Friday. I'm going to ask Ailey if she will come and read that for us.
Pilate was
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Ailey. Thank you so much. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you that the Lord Jesus did not save himself, but he willingly submitted to what you wanted, that we may be saved. Help us to listen to your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was fascinated recently by the story of the Ever Given container ship. You might have seen a picture that looked a bit like this or something like it. It blocked the Suez Canal for about 6 days. It was 400 meters long, this thing, so it's huge. The company who owns the ship, called Evergreen, claimed that it was buffeted by a strong desert storm, a dust storm. And that knocked it off course. The Egyptian authorities, well, they said there may also be some human or technical errors as well. The ship ran aground on one of the canal's banks. There was no other ships that could pass. And something like 400 ships last Sunday were kind of queued up either side, waiting to get through. People who figure these things out think that it cost global trade about £6 billion a day for the Suez Canal to be blocked. I don't actually know what that means in sort of real money, but it sounds like a lot, doesn't it? The ship was finally freed on Monday afternoon. It's hard to think in this day and age, on a ship of that kind of size, that someone got forward and reverse kind of mixed up somewhere, isn't it? I've spent a good deal of this week wondering, this is maybe an insight into how I think. I wonder what's going to happen to the captain and crew when they get to wherever they were going. I wonder what the boss is going to say when they get to port. I'm not sure I would like to be in their shoes. Suspect it's going to be a little bit more than, well. We've all run into the canal bank every now and again with a container ship, haven't we? Probably not. I don't think the boss will be saying, anyone fancy doing the return journey either? Just in case. I reckon when they get to port, they're going to be in big trouble. Lots of questions are going to be asked. Maybe jobs are going to be on the line. The company will probably have to fork out huge sums and fines. What I want to do today is just share with you one verse from the cross. It's found in Luke's gospel, actually. Verse 34, if you want to look at it. Luke 23, verse 34. It's when the Lord Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I'm so glad, can I tell you this morning, that when it comes to a relationship with God or when it comes to my sin, I'm not sitting or standing here this morning like the crew of the Ever Given. I'm not dreading one day having to see him. I'm not thinking, well, what's the boss going to say? You know, spiritually, am I going to lose my job? How much trouble am I going to be in? How much am I going to be fined for crashing my ship into the banks of the canal? These words of the Lord Jesus on Good Friday tell me that because of Easter, because of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, I can say as a follower of Jesus, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Without the forgiveness we read about at the cross, there would be no genuine good news for our world. Without the forgiveness of the cross, talk of God's love towards us would be completely empty and false. Without the forgiveness offered through the Lord Jesus, we would have nothing to offer the people who live in this area. We might as well close the doors and go home. But this is how I know that God loves me and forgives me. Jesus died. He died paying the penalty that I and everyone deserves from God for our disobedience towards him. And he shows me that love to its full extent on Good Friday by dying in my place. When did Jesus say these words, "Father, forgive them"? Well, it seems the Lord Jesus was crucified about 9 a.m. And we know that at 12 noon, there was darkness over the whole land for 3 hours. And he dies sometime around 3 o'clock. It seems he said them between 9 and 12. That Good Friday morning. Maybe about now. What kind of words are these words? Well, these words are for the good of others. Aren't they? I've been encouraging a friend of mine over the past few years to read more history books because, and I'm not really worried about your opinion, history is brilliant, okay? History is amazing. I love it. He phoned me the other day to tell me that he'd found or he'd been reading a Roman account of a crucifixion, not of the Lord Jesus, just another one. Those are actually pretty rare things because polite Roman society didn't really talk much about crucifixion. It wasn't polite conversation at dinner time. Crucifixion was a horrible, shameful thing. The description that my friend read was pretty horrific. For modesty reasons, when artists, you know, depict the cross, the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus is usually wearing a loincloth and he looks a little bit unhappy. Well, we read that the soldiers, well, they stripped him naked. And he would have been in agony. But as the Lord Jesus is being nailed to a rough wooden cross, and it's not like the soldiers are politely saying, do you mind, could you just give us your arm? It's not like going for your jab. They're grabbing him and they're nailing those spikes in. And as they swear at him and they taunt him, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." As he dies, he doesn't pray, "I'm innocent. Well, you guys have got it all wrong." And he doesn't pray, "Father, open the ground up, swallow these idiots." And he doesn't fire lightning out his eyes. Pray, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." For Pilate, for the crowd, for the religious leaders, for the soldiers, and I think even for us, "Father, forgive them." When people were doing their worst, on one of the darkest days in human history, when God himself left heaven and came and walked among us as humans and only did what was good and right and only spoke the truth and people loved to spend time with Jesus and we executed him. He prays to his Father in heaven, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." So we could say at Easter, "Because of the cross, I am completely forgiven. These words are for the good of others." Can I tell you, they're also words of forgiving love. Forgiveness for us is God's great priority. Do you know that? It is the greatest of our human needs. I'm sure the crew of the Ever Given are finding that out. I think that bit of Jesus' prayer when he says they do not know what they are doing, it refers to the people at the cross. They don't realize how big their crime is. They don't accept that the person they're executing that day is who the Bible would call a little bit later the Lord of glory. But because of his death for sinners, Jesus is saying even that crime, even that sin is forgivable. It's almost as if the Lord Jesus is praying, "Father, they don't get this yet. Help them to understand what's happening.
Help them to turn from their sin and trust in me.
Let me tell you something that is brilliant. A few weeks after this, maybe 6 weeks or so, one of the disciples, a man called Peter, is addressing another crowd in Jerusalem. And he told the crowd, "You guys killed Jesus." So I'm assuming, and it may be way out of line, but I'm assuming that some of the people at the cross were there in the crowd that day when Peter spoke to them in Jerusalem. And he says, "You guys killed him, but God raised him from the dead." And Peter said, "You've got to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you'll be forgiven." What happened? Well, we're told that at least 3,000 people that day became followers of Jesus and were baptized. People who were at the cross shouting, "Crucify him!" Saying, "We don't want this man to rule over us, put him to death!" Saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself." Come down from the cross, and they became his followers. What has that to do with us? The Lord Jesus, who was dying and prayed these words, was doing it to bring people like us forgiveness and a new relationship with God. All of us at some point, even this morning, have acted like the people who were there that day. All of us are guilty at some point in our lives, maybe even today, of saying, "I don't want this man to rule over me. I don't want to do what Jesus says. He's not going to be the king in my life. There is no God." Whenever I do that, whenever I think I know better than God, do you know what I'm doing? I'm being like the murdering enemies of Jesus, who say, "I will not have this man rule over me. Crucify him. Crucify him." I show myself again and again as someone in need of God's forgiveness. What does the Lord Jesus pray? "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Going back to the ever given just for a moment, I wonder who's going to take the fall for that? Who's going to take the blame? It's not easy, as I discovered this week, to figure out who that might be. Because there's a Japanese company who own it. A Taiwanese shipping company lease the ship from that company. The ship itself is registered in Panama, while a German company is responsible for the day-to-day management of the ship. Or is it the captain and crew? It could have been the Suez Canal pilots themselves who kind of take the ship through the canal. So there's, I don't know, that's tons of people. And even you think, well, what is the punishment? Like, what is that going to be and how much? As Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them," he's praying, "Father, don't let the blame for anyone's sin fall on them. Let it fall on me. I'll take the rap," as we used to say in Glasgow. And in the hours of darkness that followed this prayer, that was exactly what was happening. The punishment for our sin was being placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all who trust in him, all who ask for his mercy, are completely forgiven today. If you're not a Christian, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're watching somewhere. If you can't yet say, "Because of Easter, my sins are forgiven," this would be a great day to start being able to say that. To be able to say that on Good Friday, the Lord Jesus took my place, took the punishment I deserve, took the rap that is mine. He's my substitute, and he forgives me. You can ask the Lord Jesus to do that this morning. What about those of us who do consider ourselves Christians? Well, think about how the Lord Jesus taught his followers to pray. As part of the Lord's Prayer, he taught them to pray, "Forgive us our sins."
as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Jesus on Good Friday practiced what he preached. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them at the cross, because he was dying to bring into being a family of forgiven forgivers. And if you're a Christian this morning, that is how we could describe ourselves, a family of forgiven forgivers. According to Jesus in the Gospels, proof of whether we have experienced his forgiving love is whether or not we ourselves forgive other people. That is so important in a local church family like ours. Why? Because I know a local church family is made up of horrible sinners like me. And I'm going to need you guys to forgive me, and you're going to need me to forgive you as well. I'm going to keep rubbing people up the wrong way because I'm selfish and stubborn and all those things, just like you. We don't always get it right. We're going to constantly need to show each other patience and forgiveness and love. If this morning we trust in the Lord Jesus, it doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean we're part of a forgiving family. And that really does make an impact in the world in which we live, where forgiveness is not quick to be offered or sought. One more little story. Whenever I think of forgiveness, I think of a Dutch lady called Corrie ten Boom. She's now with the Lord Jesus. But her family in Holland hid Jews from the Nazis in World War II. They were discovered. I think they were ratted out. But she and her sister were sent to a concentration camp where her sister died. After the war, Corrie ten Boom would travel across Europe and I presume the wider world, speaking about forgiveness. And she was speaking in a church one night in Munich. And one of the guards from the camp where her sister died was there. He walked up to her and said, I've become a Christian. The Lord Jesus has forgiven all the terrible things I've done. But will you forgive me? She remembered all the terrible things at the camp, the shame, the hunger, her sister dying, and she prayed, Lord Jesus, help me. And then she turned to the guard and said, I forgive you, brother. She realized she did not have the power to do it. It was God at work. Because of Easter, because the Lord Jesus has died and rose again, followers of Jesus can say, I am forgiven. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that as we trust the Lord Jesus, our sins are wiped away. Thank you for the comfort of Good Friday. Thank you that the Lord Jesus did not stay dead, but he is alive and lives forevermore. Thank you for that joy. We thank you for his willing obedience to suffer in our place for our good, because you love us. Help us to celebrate that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.